Hello and welcome to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, an insider's look at energy topics touching our lives here on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. My name is Matt Dudley, and we're coming to you on the airwaves of WOMR 92.1 FM Provincetown, WFMR 91.3 FM Orleans, and live online at WOMR.org. Well, with winter fast approaching, many of us are getting ready to turn up the thermostats and start paying those heating bills again. However, your heating fuel isn't alone in the quest to consume your piggy bank. Winter peak is what it's called, and it's resulting in an increase in electricity prices. Today I'm joined by two Cape Light Compact staffers, Stefan Wallenberg and Lindsay Henderson, to shed some light on what's driving the increase in electricity prices and how the Cape Light Compact's energy efficiency programs want to help you chill your bill. Lindsay, Stefan, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having us, Matt.
Thanks for having us.
So, we're coming around the time of year where electricity prices are coming out for different periods, 6 months, sometimes a year, as in with the case of the Cape Light Compact last year. Last month, National Grid filed their price with the DPU. It was a pretty significant increase. They're projecting that the impact would be about $30 to $50 per residential home, just from the cost of power supply going up.
Doubling,
yeah. So we wanted to have you guys in here to talk a little bit about why electricity prices are doing that, and what folks can do to try to save some of those costs. So Stefan, let's start out with the power supply side of things. What drives the cost of electricity? I guess right now, just for an example for folks, when you get your NSTAR electric bill, how is the total cost of electricity broken out? And then, you know, with respect to power supply, where does that come in? What are our current prices, and what really drives those prices in that market?
Sure. So one of the most important things to understand about your electric bill is that it really breaks down into two big components. First component is what we would call the distribution charges, or transmission and distribution. And those are charges that go to your local distribution company. In the case of the Cape, that would be NSTAR. And basically, that is covering the cost of getting electricity from wherever it is produced to you for your consumption. Those are really what those charges are for. So when we are talking about power supply rates, we're talking about kind of the second portion of the bill. And that is really what is supposed to pay for the actual production of the electricity that then gets transmitted to your house for you to consume. So when we're talking about, you know, how all of these prices are changing really dramatically, we're really focusing on that second component, the power supply component. and so when we hear about these prices changing a lot, the short story is that they're being driven by changes in natural gas prices in New England.
So electricity is really like a commodity, and I think that that's probably some of the misunderstanding with a lot of the public, is that you would think that the price of electricity would never change or would perhaps change with inflation, but this is a market that's driven by private sector, correct? And it's a lot like a commodity. All these fuels that are used to create electricity are commodities, and the prices kind of reflect that.
Yep.
So knowing that, who's out there producing power? Where does it come from? Kind of what's the mix? And what's driving price increases here in Massachusetts?
Sure. So in New England, part of what makes New England interesting, and some other states have this, but New England has, and we've talked about this before, but a restructured market. So the companies that own the actual generation units are different from NSTAR, the electric distribution companies. So in terms of generation, we have a fleet of units all throughout New England that are owned by different companies, but the most important part is that in Massachusetts and Rhode Island and Connecticut and most New England states, they're not the same companies that own the wires that get them to your house. In terms of what those units look like, over the past decade or so, because natural gas prices were low relative to some other fuels like oil and coal, and some of those other fuels had real problems in terms of environmental compliance and the emissions that they produced, we've seen a dramatic increase in the amount of electricity that we get from natural gas. So just to give you a rough sense, basically we've tripled the percentage of electricity that we get from natural gas over the past 10 years or so. So it used to be maybe 15%, and now we get almost half of our electricity from natural gas.
So we said that we get electricity from natural gas, that's these these power plants are actually fueled by natural gas. It's not we have gas flowing through the lines.
That's right. Yes. Important distinction.
So in the way that electricity is made, it's pretty much the same until you get to that combustion source or that energy source that, you know, powers your generators and things like that. So that's what Stefan's referring to when he's talking about the natural gas market driving electricity prices.
Exactly. So, and just to kind of round out the picture, right? So you have natural gas, which is about half. Nuclear is maybe about third. And then the rest is made up of some renewables, some biomass, a little bit of coal, very, very little oil. A lot of people, you know, there's kind of a perception that we use oil or petroleum products like oil to produce electricity. And the reality is that in New England, we get less than 1% of our electricity from oil. So it's important to hear that, you know, everyone has been hearing about how gas prices have been going down. And that's not something that's going to be reflected on your electric bill because we don't use oil to produce electricity. So that's just one thing to kind of point out real quick.
And another thing, a question that we hear a lot here on the Cape is, you know, is it because we're at the end of the line that our prices are so high? How come we have a lot of people that move here from elsewhere in the country that say, well, when I was in Tennessee, my electricity was 4 cents a kilowatt hour, and up here my total cost is about 20. How does that work? Why is that? And maybe that's a question that you know the answer to.
I know some of the answer to it. That's kind of on both sides of the bill. So our distribution rates are generally higher than other parts of the states. Than other parts of the country. And that's kind of a complex thing. There are a lot of things that go into that. But also, our power supply rates are pretty dramatically higher than almost every other part of the country, with the exception of Hawaii. And the reason is not necessarily the price of natural gas itself. If you go down to Pennsylvania or Louisiana or something like that, you'll find that natural gas is very, very inexpensive. And that's driven largely by, you know, fracking. Everyone has heard about hydraulic fracturing and how that's made it so that the U.S. is now this enormous producer of different petroleum products, natural gas, oil, all that kind of stuff. But the problem that we have in New England is getting that inexpensive natural gas up to us.
Right.
So as I said before, you know, we've tripled the amount of electricity that we get from natural gas over the past decade. At the same time, you know, we've had a lot of people in New England that are converting from oil or other delivered fuels like that to natural gas for heating. So there's been this dramatic increase in the amount of natural gas that we're consuming, but we really haven't made any new major investments in pipeline infrastructure needed to get that natural gas from the parts of the country where it's cheap to us here in New England. So what the result is that, you know, in the winter, we pay many, many times more for natural gas than you might in, like I said, Louisiana, or even in New York. We're paying a lot more because we just don't have quite enough infrastructure to get that gas to us, especially in the winter when we're using lots of gas both for heating and for electricity production.
So it defaults to that classic supply and demand.
That's it.
And which is taking kind of the precedent as far as generation facilities go? Is the focus to really improve or increase the amount of natural gas heated homes and businesses, or is the focus really to be using this fuel to create electricity here in the region?
There's been a noticeable increase in the percent of homes that use natural gas to heat, but it's really electricity production that's driving this dramatic increase in consumption. That's really the biggest driver.
And I noticed when National Grid had filed their electricity prices last month that their natural gas for home heating was actually going down a little bit as opposed to last year. And there are a few pieces in that, too, that may be confusing to most people, in that with the change in the residential heating fuel cost, that's not specifically tied to that commodity price, where there was a little bit of an overage in that distribution charge that folks had been charged. So that's more of a credit back to them. So it's not, we're saying that the natural gas prices are what's spiking electricity prices, and you would think that you would see the same increase on your heating side, but that's not the case. So it's not an apples to apples comparison.
Yeah, there's some funkiness there. You have to get a little bit into the weeds, but basically we sign long-term contracts for the transmission capacity to get natural gas up here for heating. So, you know, when someone wants to build a pipeline, they basically look for these long-term contracts. And those long-term contracts are signed for heating purposes. If you don't have one of those contracts, then you're competing for a very small amount of capacity to get gas up here for electricity production. And so that's why, you know, you see that increase for electricity production, but not for heating, because heating has those long-term contracts, firm capacity contracts to get gas up here. So you don't see those same spikes in the winter.
Great. So the Cape Light Compact is currently, we're reviewing a request for proposals for a new power supply contractor. Is that for 2015, I guess, coming up.
Basically, starting in December.
Yeah, yep. There's a new contract coming out. The Cape Light Compact's power supply price is, right now is about...
Just under 9 cents.
Yep. So if you were to take your electric bill and divide your total cost by the kilowatt hours that are on there, you're going to see that it's not that 9 cents and that a big portion of your bill is actually on that supply, is on the generation side. Not generation, on the distribution side.
Right.
Where things like your energy efficiency dollars are collected, you're paying for maintenance for the lines, because we know that we're probably going to have NSTAR come down here to the Cape a number of times this winter. Yep. To clear some lines, things like that. So right now that price is about 9 cents per kilowatt hour, and that's the portion that's affected by kind of this commodities market. Do we have an indicator of, you know, obviously it's expected our price is going to go up as well.
Yes.
I know that you're negotiating in that RFP right now, so we probably don't know exactly what the prices are. Is it going to be a substantial increase? Are we going to be talking about 28, 29 cents per kilowatt hour on the supply side? How's that looking?
It's going to be, for the first 6 or 7 months of the contract, it's going to be a big increase. So it's going to be a lot higher than the 9 cents or so right now. I don't expect it to go quite as high as National Grid's price, but it's definitely going to be higher than 10 cents. So that's, you know, that's why we're having this conversation and trying to make sure that people know what their options are and are preparing for it.
That can be quite a significant impact on your electric bill throughout the month.
Yeah.
So another thing, while we're here on the supply topic, we're probably, you know, if folks haven't already seen it, and we, you know, being with the Cape Light Compact, we see it almost every single day, is that Massachusetts being kind of this destructured electricity market, it's kind of the Wild West out there with respect to, you know, who can supply you power and what the prices are, how all that works. A lot of offers have come through right now anticipating huge spikes in electricity costs for, you know, the big players like NSTAR, National Grid, Cape Light Compact, municipal aggregators and utilities, where these competitive suppliers are sending out offers and they're trying to solicit customers to switch over to their rates. Some of them are looking pretty attractive. There was one that we saw that actually, Lindsay, you had pointed it out to me a few weeks ago, in that there was a deal out there: stop your electricity bill from tripling next month, sign up, yes, for 3 years in fixed price contracts with us. You go online, the rates wasn't that bad. It was a little over 10 cents, I think. What should folks be looking for when you get these offers? You know, is there such thing as too good to be true in a lot of this stuff that you hear, and what should folks look out for?
So I would say yes, there definitely is such a thing as, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. The reality is that at the end of the day, all of the suppliers, you know, the Compact, National Grid, and all of these other suppliers are buying pretty much all of their energy through a single clearinghouse, essentially. So, you know, there's definitely an opportunity for different suppliers to have slightly different pricing and structure their pricing differently. But at the end of the day, it's kind of like buying a stock, right? You're probably not going to be able to buy a stock much, much less expensively in one place or another. Kind of the price is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite as simple as that, but you get the point. So I would say yes, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. You know, there are a couple of things to look out for, and there's a good amount of information on the Compact's website under the power supply section that I would definitely encourage people to check out for a little more detail. But generally speaking, if you're looking at a contract that has a price that's fixed for a certain term, you want to keep in mind what you're going to do at the end of that term. So we've seen a lot of offers where there's an extremely low price for 3 or 6 months or something like that. But then the problem is what happens at the end of that period. It's kind of like a credit card with an introductory interest rate. And what a lot of these smaller suppliers will do is they will set it up such that they make the offer at a time when prices are really low. So prices are really inexpensive in the spring and the fall, as an example. So they might come out and offer you a really low price for 3 months at the beginning of the fall. But then when you get to, say, December or January, you would automatically get bumped to a variable rate. And what that means is that your price is likely to double or triple going from 1 month to the next. So any of the savings that you might have had in those first couple of months would go away right away. So that's really the biggest thing that people need to look out for is what are they going to do when that introductory rate goes away? For some of the longer term contracts, say 12 months or more, you want to make just be aware that there's almost definitely going to be a termination fee. So if you leave for whatever reason, you're going to have to pay a fee to leave. $50 or more is pretty common. Mm-hmm. And then another important thing to look out for is that a lot of them have language in their contract that allows them to basically change the price if something happens that makes it so that the market becomes more expensive. And a lot of that language is really vague and gives them a lot of latitude to do that. So you really have to ask yourself just how fixed the price is. So that's another thing to look out for. And in general, what we would say is it's never a good idea to give someone your account number over the phone, because once they have that, they can sign you up. So you should always be asking to see a contract or the terms of service before you sign up for anything or give out your account information. That's really the most important thing.
And there are some recourse actions for folks who feel like they've been swindled by suppliers or anyone in general. And is that the Attorney General's office that they can reach out to?
Everyone has 3 days after they sign up. There's kind of a grace period where they can change their minds and cancel without any penalty. And if anyone feels like they've been swindled or signed up for something that they didn't agree to sign up to or anything like that, you can reach out to the Attorney General's office. The place that I would probably start is the Department of Public Utilities has a consumer division. And so if you go to the Department of Public Utilities website, it's pretty easy to find the number there too. Great. And if anybody has any questions about any of the stuff or any problems finding those numbers, they can always get in touch with the Compact, and we're more than happy to help.
That's the consumer advocacy part of the
tripod. That's part of it. Exactly.
Oh. Well, that's good. So, and for folks who are unfamiliar with the Compact and how we're structured, our prices are usually fixed for a long period of time, 6 months or a year, 11 or so months, as in the case of this year, but typically in about a 6 month cycle.
Yep.
One of the benefits is that we're here for you as a representative or as an organization formed by all the towns and two counties on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. And the pricing's pretty transparent, right? We don't have deals, introductory offers, all that stuff. It's the price is the price. It's filed, it's on our website. And you are free to leave the Compact's power supply program if you so desire.
Without any penalties, yep.
Coming back may be a little trickier if you hop off and, you know, chase a cheap price and then want to come back and, you know, in that peak, you know, January through March period where the prices could be up around 20 to 25 cents per kilowatt hour. It may not be as easy for you to get back on the fixed price, but we're here to protect the best interest of you and everyone else. So,
exactly.
Again, if folks have questions about the Compact's power supply, you can give us a call. If you call our 1-800 number, and that's 1-800-797-6699, the folks at our call center could put you in touch with anybody, probably you, Stefan, to answer their questions. So with knowing the increase in prices for electricity, and in true Cape Light Compact fashion, let's talk a little bit about efficiency, right? Because your prices can go up, but if you use less electricity, your total cost might actually end up going down. So, Lindsay, the Cape Light Compact, you and I guess some other folks at the Compact have come up with this great idea to put kind of a freeze on people's electricity costs
yes.
this winter.
Yes, we have launched the Chill Your Bill campaign. We're doing several presentations across the Cape and the Vineyard, educating folks as to why their prices are going to be increasing and low-cost ways that they can reduce their consumption. And we also have materials that we're giving out. We have materials that we're giving out to the towns, and we also have some information on our website about ways to reduce.
Great. So right now, what are we doing? What are we encouraging folks to do to save some energy, whether it be electricity or oil, propane, natural gas, et cetera?
Yep. So some ways to reduce your electricity costs. You can close your chimney dampers. We offer chimney balloons that will help keep the heat inside of your home and not going up your chimney. Making sure that any furniture and draperies are moved away from radiators and heating vents to help the airflow from your furnace.
Mm-hmm.
We have a refrigerator recycling program that will help reduce if you have a second refrigerator or freezer that you're not using. We have a company that will pick it up for free, and we will send you a $50 rebate in the mail.
And those can use quite a bit of electricity, just in my time of throwing some meters on those. I've seen refrigerators and freezers in people's basements or garages that can account for up to $60 on their electric bill, and they have absolutely no idea. It's got a six-pack of soda in it, or maybe that Thanksgiving turkey for about 3 or 4 days. And other than that, it's just running second electricity all
yes.
winter long.
Yeah.
We also have in all of the most of the local town libraries a home energy detective kit, so you can be your own detective at home and sign one of these kits out, and it's a plug that you would plug your appliance or anything into the wall, and it would tell you how much electricity that's using. And another avenue for being your own detective, we have right now a smart home monitoring effort going on. If you visit cabelightcompact.org/smart, you can install this device. It would be a monitoring system installed on your electric meter, and it gives you near real-time usage. And you can view it from any of your smart devices, your iPhone, iPad, computer, desktop computer. So that's really cool.
And the controls on that, actually, I was talking with Brianna Kane about the initiative there, and she was telling me that they actually have got some controls for that app through the energy monitoring pilot, or the program now. I guess it's not a pilot anymore, that you can actually control outlets from your phone as well, whether it's lights or what have you. So it's a pretty good foundation. It's no cost, right, for folks to sign
it's
up for
no
that?
It's no cost for the basic monitoring system, and then it does have additional features that can be purchased, you know,
if you
for
wish
a
to.
Cost.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also turn old iOS devices into cameras. So if you
right.
have a, you know, babysitter at your house, you can set up a camera.
And most everybody's probably got an old iPhone or Android or something like that sitting in a drawer somewhere. So use it as a camera or recycle it.
That's right.
That's the best thing to do for it.
As a result of that software, I now know which of my dogs to blame anytime someone chews on my couch.
It's a pretty neat product. So we've got a lot of rebates. I think the Cape Light Compact is always here trying to push our home energy assessments on folks, but a lot of the stuff that you just mentioned, you do not need a home energy assessment for. So if you don't have the time, if you feel like you don't have the time, or if you've had an assessment in the past, these are things that are still available to you.
Well, exactly. And with the assessment coming into the winter season, we do have a high demand right now, so it could be a couple of months before we're able to even get out to your house.
Right.
So these are some options you can do beforehand.
Great. And for more information on this stuff, you could go to the Cape Light Compact's website at www.capelightcompact.org. You can probably find rebate applications for everything that you'd mentioned there. You can find out how to sign up for the refrigerator removal. You can sign up for the behavioral feedback program. Get a lot of information about energy efficiency in general. Another thing that I just like to mention to folks is that the Department of Energy has got this little book called the Energy Savers Booklet. We have got thousands of them probably up in the shed. And it's a great tool. Yeah, if folks are interested, give us a call and perhaps we can mail one out to you. It's a booklet. It's probably 50 pages, I'd say, of just little tips and tricks about how to save energy around your home. Simple little things like, you know, washing some clothes with cold water instead of hot water. You'd be surprised at how much that would save. You had mentioned, the shades and draperies, things like that, where in the wintertime, if you actually close those during the daytime or open them in the daytime and close
them
at nighttime,
exactly.
It can have quite an impact on not only your energy consumption, but the comfort in your house. And I think that for most people, the comfort in their home is the most important, right? Because who cares if you save a lot of money if you're shivering in your house all the time and you wake up with a runny nose every day because it's you have your thermostat set to 44 degrees because you're trying to save a dollar.
How did you know I set my thermostat to 44 degrees?
And for those folks that do it, I mean, it's fine. Yeah, we do hear a lot that folks are kind of deterred by the energy efficiency stuff because they don't want to sacrifice comfort. And one thing that you need to know is that it's not always a sacrifice of comfort to save some energy. Lindsay, you'd mentioned that we do have a wait for the home energy assessment.
Yes.
I think last time I had heard it was about 8 weeks or so to schedule. So now we're talking almost the end of December before we can get out there to your house. So if you do need an energy assessment, don't wait until that first cold snap. Get in the queue now because people are going to be there. Like you'd said, we have a huge queue. We have a huge line of people. We're trying to get to folks as quickly as possible. Possibly by increasing the amount of audits that we can do. We've been working with our vendors to potentially do that. But sign up for an energy assessment. Through our energy assessment, what do we offer, Lindsay or Stefan? Do you had something?
Well, I was just going to say, even if you can't get it done in time for this winter, I just wanted to point out that this story about high electricity prices, it's going to be around for a couple of years. So I just don't want people to think that if they can get through this winter, prices are going to come back down.
Right.
Because the reality is that even in the most optimistic of scenarios, we're looking at these high prices for the next couple of years. And then the other thing, just really quickly again to mention, is that just because of how our pricing terms line up, people are likely to see their price go down again in July. But that's just because that term won't cover the most expensive winter months.
Right.
So even if they see that, I just want everyone to know that's not a reason to not sign up for an energy audit or, you know, replace all of your LEDs with incandescent bulbs again, because prices will go up again in the winter.
It's a brief sigh of relief.
Exactly. Exactly.
Emphasis on the brief part.
That's right.
That is a good point. So through our home energy assessments, Lindsay, for folks that aren't familiar with it, I imagine a number of people listening right now have had an energy assessment or have heard of it. As a sponsor of the MassSave energy efficiency programs, the Cape Light Compact offers these assessments, which include?
It's a free assessment, first of all. And we replace all of your incandescent light bulbs with high efficiency ones, such as LEDs. We're doing more LED lights now and compact fluorescents. We check to see if you have any air leaks in your home, where you may need insulation, and we also meter your refrigerator to see how much electricity that's using and see if it might be eligible for a rebate for a new one.
And while we're out there, we could slap a meter on that one in the garage and let you know. Or
exactly.
You could use that home energy detective kit if you don't believe me about the $40 to $60 a month thing.
Yes.
Well, Lindsay, Stefan, thank you for joining us again.
Thank you.
This is really helpful, and hopefully you know, we've brought some more information and enlightened the listeners on Cape Cod and Martha's Vineyard. Until next time, I'll see you guys around, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, good talking to you, Matt.
If you'd like to learn more information about power supply or energy efficiency programs, visit the Cape Light Compact's website at www.capelightcompact.org or give us a call at 1-800-797-6699. If you'd like to send a suggestion for a future episode of Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy, you can call the 1-800 number at 1-800-797-6699 or shoot me an email at focus@capelightcompact.org. We'll see you next month, same time, same place, WOMR 92.1 Provincetown and WFMR 91.3 Orleans on the FM dial, or online at WOMR.org, where you can also find an archive of past shows. Till then, this is Matt Dudley reminding you that together we can secure a smarter energy future.